There is a pair of exciting exhibits at the Hyde Collection in Glens Falls, New York. Larry Kagan, Lying Shadows in the Wood Gallery, and Emerging from the Shadows, Edward Hopper and His Contemporaries in the Hoops Gallery. Both are on display through September 14th, and both are just really amazing. In Emerging from the Shadows, approximately 25 works by 10 artists are in view. Hopper's use of shadows is a signature motif of his work and an integral part of its power to enthrall viewers, emphasizing the sense of alienation and anonymity and isolation of the human condition. Meanwhile, Lying Shadows by Larry Kagan is the work of Larry Kagan, which features these steel wire sculptures and the shadows of the cast on the wall in a way that just is, well, here's an intelligent, sophisticated word, really cool. So to find out more, we welcome Hyde Collection Director Charles Guerin, who is always wonderful to have him here, and Curator of Education June Leary joins us as well. Thank you very much both for being here.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
Thank you.
Always love having you on. I probably shouldn't say this. I will say it, but I probably shouldn't say it. You guys are my favorite museum. And
you're in trouble now.
My backyard, and I just love going there. I was there recently. I saw these exhibits. And, man, is it fun. Just a lot of great stuff going on. So you have Ansel Adams in the spring, and then you start your summer with Edward Hopper and Larry Kagan. That's not a bad way to go.
It's been good.
Yeah.
Been good. It's really exciting stuff.
So tell us a little bit about how this came to be.
Well, I think many people recognize Larry as an artist who lives in Troy and has worked in this region for a long, long time. And he's an artist that we at the museum felt was important to give some attention to. The curator of the exhibition, Aaron Coe, met with Larry a couple of years ago, I think, to initially discuss the notion of having a show and doing a large show where we could really give people a full sense of what he does as a sculptor.
And the sculptures are hard to explain because you look at them as sculptures in and of themselves, and they're fascinating. And then when you see what they create as a shadow, it's mind-blowing.
Right. The sculptures themselves are made out of quarter-inch welded steel. And if you were to describe them, they look like strands of spaghetti hanging on the wall, all different shapes and sizes, nothing but abstract spaghetti on the wall. But those every individual piece of steel reduces the amount of light that hits the wall and it creates a shadow. And from a particular angle, those abstract sculptures project an absolutely realistic image on the wall of a fly or a person or a shoe or a chair. So it's realism coming from abstraction. It's really fascinating approach to making work.
So both of the key word in both of these exhibits is shadow.
Yes.
So that's by design.
By design.
And what did you want to explore with the two of these together?
Well, we felt that shadow is a way that most artists use shadow in some way. A two-dimensional artist uses shadow to create dimension, the illusion of three dimensions on a two-dimensional space. And sculptors use shadow to help define their space. They're very picky when you do a piece of sculpture in a gallery as to how it's lit and so forth, because the sculpture is designed to reflect light in various different ways. And as a result of that, you get shadow. And so shadow is both a negative in that you have to deal with it when it gets in the way, as sometimes it does. But it's a very positive thing when you use it to develop the dimensionality of a two-dimensional work of art. Beyond that, it's used in very sophisticated ways to create mood, to create tension, to create a sense of anxiety, a lot of sort of mood differences that can be created with shadow, tension. It's really a very important part of just about any two-dimensional work of art.
So tell us a little bit about the Emerging from the Shadows and the Hopper show and how that came to be.
Well, we were looking for a way to when we, after we did Larry's show and we had that on the books, we wanted to do another show that dealt with shadow from a totally different perspective. And one of the artists that is very dominant in his use of shadows is Edward Hopper. But there were a whole group of friends that and contemporaries that Hopper had that used shadow, in particular Martin Lewis and George Bellows used shadow to great effect. We were working with the Adsworth Athenaeum in terms of lending them a work of art, and they had three great Hopper watercolors in their collection, and they agreed to trade their works of art for a period of time for our works of art. So we had these three wonderful Hopper watercolors, and so we built an exhibition around the watercolors that dealt with Hopper's use of shadow as a dramatic element and the use of other artists of that same period and how they use shadow in similar and different ways.
June Leary is Curator of Education for the Hyde Collection in Glens Falls. And June, tell us a little bit about how this fits into your work and trying to get an educational message across.
Well, in terms of both shows dealing with shadows, it's been a great opportunity, especially with the Kagan exhibition, of when I'm bringing people into the gallery, of telling them they're about to see something in art they have never seen before. The use of the shadow being the subject of the art. As Larry Kagan said, we look at an object, we tend to ignore the shadow. The object draws our eye, so the surprise factor of the image that's being cast is really delightful, and also brings you into that deeper meaning of shadow, as then can be seen in the Hopper exhibition. So it has definitely lent itself to an examination of technique and intent on the part of all of the artists that we're showing this summer.
So my nieces, 8 and 11, came with me. We went over to the Hyde to see this exhibit, and we're walking through, and here's the question that we kept on asking each other. So as the curator of education, I'll ask you, because it's a question that we asked like five times throughout the exhibit. How does he do that? Why, it's incredible to think of how you could even know how you move steel in such a way that it would project and create something that is so incredibly detailed.
Well, you have to think of it, the process, backwards. He starts with the image. We did visit Larry at his studio. And he would probably be, he'd be very welcoming
sure,
if you
sure
wanted
be.
To be,
yeah,
if you wanted to go. He draws the image on the wall. So for example, you've been there, you saw the chair.
Right.
He drew that chair on his studio wall.
Okay.
Then he manipulates the curves and angles of the layering of the wire to create the lines in the shadow that obliterate his drawing and recreate the drawing in shadow.
And what's fascinating, and David mentioned this before, that it is, or I'm sorry, Charles mentioned this before, is that it's still beautiful. I mean, the actual sculpture itself, you said abstract, but very, very cool.
It is. And there is the one you probably noted where you can turn the light off.
Right.
And that gives you full access to the wire sculpture as an isolated object. And the first time I saw Larry Kagan's work was actually in the Albany Airport Gallery, which they have wonderful shows there.
They do.
And I was wandering through this group show, and I saw, oh, that's an interesting abstract sculpture on the wall. I think I'll go over and look at it more closely. And then literally jumped a little bit and said, oh, there's a poodle, because it was the poodle.
There's a poodle.
And, you know, thinking all these deep thoughts about this wire abstraction, and then to be delighted by this shadow of a, well, it's not a shadow of a poodle. It's a shadow of the abstract sculpture.
Right.
So that combination of things is what I think you probably experienced in the show as well.
And I want to get back to Charles here in a second, but I do find it It seems to me that as a, especially in your work as education, and not just for children, of course, but education overall, that it's just a gift when you have something like this that is fun and cool and allows you to explore so many different artistic questions.
Yes, especially I would say Kagan's work by desire is accessible. He has created imagery, appropriated imagery from Keith Haring, another also very accessible artist. And it's that he wants to convey, that these images can be appreciated and enjoyed just by their very existence or by the associations one may have with them, lighthearted imagery, somewhat serious imagery, iconic imagery like George Washington, the young Mao, and Che Guevara. He's been linked stylistically to pop art in the use of these recognizable images. So yes, to be able to do something that's fun, that you can touch. I mean, people can touch the work to see where
that's
the wire shadow is cast. He doesn't want you to do chin-ups on them, but you can touch it. You know, this level of accessibility and meaning at the same time is just great.
Now, Charles, I would think there are probably a couple of these rules of thumb when it comes to bringing in an exhibit to a museum, but one of the rules of thumb is that Edward Hopper sells tickets, right? I mean, that, having something with Edward Hopper, that does well, right?
Of course it does. We think about those things. I mean, what we do in a museum is our number one interest is in the quality of what we show.
Sure.
We want great art. Well, oftentimes great art is produced by very well-known artists, particularly if they're historic figures of previous generations. So using a name like Edward Hopper, yes, it does tend to sell tickets. But what we want to make certain is that what people receive when they get into the exhibition is something that is well worth the cost of the ticket. So it's really it's a two-sided thing.
And as we close out here, I just want to I want to point people, because I, you know, if we talk about it and you've never been there, maybe you don't know, but not only do you have these galleries, these two incredible galleries, but then there's the home as well. Mm-hmm. And this is a masterpiece in and of itself. And what I always find fascinating, and because sometimes when I go, I'll go through the house, and sometimes I don't. I'll just go see the exhibits. But the last time we went through the house again. And it's just, to me, you ultimately try to connect that as well, don't you?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's to me, fascinating.
Yes, because we exist because there was a collector who owned that house, Mrs. Hyde, and she created a great collection, and at her death created this legacy, which is the Hyde Collection. And it allows us to not only show her collection in the historic house, which is a wonderful Italian Renaissance house, as well as in the main galleries of modern and contemporary art. So we do it all. We do everything from old masters to very contemporary things like Larry Kagan.
It's a beautiful, both exhibits are beautiful and a wonderful thing to do over the summer. I was going to say on a rainy day, but yeah, any day is fine.
Any day.
That's very cool on a hot day.
Yeah, very cool on a hot day, absolutely. Just a wonderful way to spend a few hours. It's the Hyde Collection. They are in Glens Falls, New York, and right on Warren Street. It's HydeCollection.org, HydeCollection.org, and Charles Guerin is the director. Curator of Education is June Leary, and again, you can find out more by going to HydeCollection.org, HydeCollection.org. Thank you both for being here. What a delight.
Joe,
it's our pleasure.
Could I take a moment to talk about our films that we're having next week?
Oh, I forgot about the films. Thank you for reminding me, June. Go ahead.
The films we're having next week, Hopper Stories, next Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, July 31st, 7 o'clock. The museum will be open at 6, so people may come to see the Kagan and Emerging from the Shadows exhibition.
Right.
And Hopper Stories... there are 8 short films Most 4 to 5 minutes long, the longest being 11, and each one is inspired, has been inspired by a work by Edward Hopper, one of them being his most iconic work, Nighthawks, of right. the three people in the lonely late night diner. And these come to us from a French film company who found us and our Hopper show and asked if we would like to show these. They're just wonderful.
Now we're out of time, but when is it?
It's Thursday, July 31st at 7 p.m.
The 31st at 7 o'clock, and you can find out more information at hydecollection.org. Thank you both very much.